There's an old idiom about victory having a thousand fathers. I don't know. Hillary Clinton's primary defeat didn't happen for any one reason. Democratic consultant Bob Schrum has been telling anyone who will listen that this year is a change year and she wasn't the change candidate. Then there's the problem of the political legacy she embodied. There was the old psychodrama of the Clintons. There was her Iraq war vote. And the fact that she got out-strategized, underestimating the power of the caucus system. Yet in the last week, one word has popped up more and more. Sexism. No one except right-wing talk show hosts looking for a straw man or straw woman claims that Hillary was only defeated because of sexism. And there I go saying Hillary, right? But it doesn't mean that sexism wasn't a factor. And still, a wise man once said, politics ain't beanbag and it ain't a quilt and bee either. Salon staff writer Rebecca Traister has been thinking and even voting over these issues. Hello, Rebecca. I found it interesting. Yesterday, you wrote a column where you revealed what your vote was. The reasoning was pretty interesting. Tell us about that.
Well, I was extremely undecided going into this election. I'm a lifelong Democrat. I probably lean further to the left than anybody, except possibly Dennis Kucinich in the early pack. I was an Edwards woman. I was totally going to vote for Edwards. And then slowly, as the candidates started dropping off, I realized that I was going to have to choose between Obama and Clinton, and I was incredibly torn. I wanted to be as excited about Obama as so many of my peers were, and I am as excited about him. But I felt a strong pull toward Hillary, a candidate about whom I've been extraordinarily ambivalent for many years. I write about gender and politics, so I've been thinking about her and writing about her for a long time. And, you know, on a personal front, politically, she's disappointed me again and again. I didn't feel any strong connection with her just because she was a woman. But when it came down to it, I got so tied up in knots over this, and I went into a voting booth, and I spent about 20 minutes, and I, you know, pulled all the levers for her, and then I unclicked them and pulled the levers for him, and I finally voted for her.
Mm-hmm. Was it like an anti-sexism statement?
No, it wasn't. I don't know what the key to my vote was.
Right.
I have thought a lot about what made me do it. In part, it was that I actually did prefer her health care policy very much. And I thought that they were similar in a lot of other policy regards, so similar that it mattered to me that there was this one area where I really thought her plan was better. So there was that. You know, there are other. I write about gender and politics, so I have also questioned whether or not I wrote earlier this week whether or not I wanted to keep my Beats prize pig alive. You know, it matters to me to have Hillary.
In other words,
to write about.
Yeah, Hillary's the embodiment of so much of what you write. She just keeps giving and giving. It was like that's a pocketbook issue for you, right? A candidate who just gives you so many columns to write about.
She's one of the greatest characters out there. How could you not want to continue to write about her and the ways in which she, you know, sort of frustrates and beguiles and enrages everybody around her?
So as far as the sexism complaint, you know, like I said, there are so many reasons that Hillary Clinton lost, and she lost narrowly. So it's maybe easy to discount this charge of sexism, but then if you go to YouTube, there are all these montages out there which show many members of the media, quite frankly, being sexist. We have a clip of one of them. Let's play that.
Big news from New Hampshire tonight is it cries. After spending decades stripping away all trace of emotion, femininity, and humanity, Hillary Clinton actually broke down and actually cried yesterday on the campaign trail.
Men won't vote for Hillary Clinton because she reminds them of their nagging wives.
And when Hillary Clinton speaks, men hear,
take out the garbage.
Let me tell you how short Hillary's leash is. As if you're a guy going door to door trying to sell something, and she said, you'll have to wait for my husband to get home.
Whenever she appears tough, I think it's good for her. I think she actually is tough. But the one thing we learned from the Lorena Bobbitt case is there's a great deal of resentment among women aimed at men.
Look, the only people for Hillary Clinton are the Democrats.
All right, that's nasty stuff with a soundtrack by Carl Orff. Yet, over the 45,000 hours of cable news, can't we make a horror reel from stuff said about every candidate?
You know, I'm sure that's a reasonable question, and I'm sure you could. But I bet that it wouldn't rely so consistently on this one aspect of this candidate's identity. I mean, those are all nasty ways to talk about politicians that rely on stereotypes and the ways we think about gender. And of course, she was the first serious, plausible candidate for female candidate for president. She was not the first. There have been many other women who have attempted runs for president, Shirley Chisholm being the most, the one that most people remember most. But of course there was going to be sexism. And I want to go back to what you said before about it not being the only reason. Not only is it not the only reason, we don't have to chalk up, we don't have to connect the fact that there was sexism or misogyny or even, if you don't want to use those words, a discomfort with this idea of a powerful woman.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to connect all those things to her loss in any way. She could have won, and we should still be talking about the sexism in this. Sexism doesn't only exist when it causes a loss or when there is a loss. And I think that's really important. I would also say that there were instances in this campaign in which the kind of gender dismissive, angry, resentful language used about her, you know, that was sort of tinged with ideas about her gender, actually worked in her favor, I would say, in New Hampshire. But in that week between Iowa and New Hampshire, Chris Matthews and the rest of the MSNBC gang sort of took their first great pleasure in dancing on her grave and talking about her as the Wicked Witch is dead and all this sort of stuff. And I think women, in one of the theories about what happened in New Hampshire is that women were so angry when they heard people celebrating her defeat with such gusto that they went out and voted for her.
What do you think?
I think that's an instance in which it probably worked in her favor. So we don't have to connect. There's not just sexism because she lost. There was sexism anyway.
There was the famous incident of two fools saying, "Iron my shirt," at one of her rallies, and she turned that around into a fundraiser. Assess the campaign itself. Do you think it trafficked in charges or taking umbrage at examples of sexism, or do you think it actually didn't want to be perceived as whiners and backed off what could have been very legitimate debates about sexism?
I think both. It did both of those things, if that's possible. I think that there were instances. I believe also, when a media guy suggested that they were pimping out Chelsea, the campaign reacted with anger. They would put out a lot of statements. Sometimes too much. Sometimes I would shake my head and say, "Oh, just let other people deal with this." So you know, and they would take so much umbrage and be so upset, and so that the campaign itself made too big a deal of a couple of instances that were not outright as much about sexism. I do think that they did not have the conversation that, for example, Barack Obama was forced to have about race partway through the primary season. Hillary Clinton did not spend a lot of time talking about gender, talking about the fact that she was a woman, except in a sort of "you go girl" Norma Rae fashion. She didn't have the nuanced conversation about feminism and her role in history in any kind of thoughtful or nuanced way during the primary season. Now that her campaign is over, there are several people who are criticizing her for that and saying she should have taken more advantage of it. She should have talked more about her unique place in history and the kinds of responses that she was encountering because of it. She did speak about it in feminist terms a little bit in her concession speech on Saturday. And I think it's interesting that we're only having this conversation now that the campaign is over and no longer threatens anybody, no longer threatens, anybody who might be uncomfortable with her, and no longer threatens the nomination of Barack Obama. It's only now that we can feel comfortable beginning to have this conversation that we really should have been having in full for many months now.
All right. And much as I loathe the phrase, I think it just might be a teachable moment. Rebecca Traister, staff writer at Salon. Thank you, Rebecca.
Thank you so much.
Stay with us. Coming up next on the show, sports with our favorite sports guy, Bill Wolf, is on deck next. This is the Bryant Park Project from NPR News.